Today, the digital currency battle. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, one that is posts covering finance and property news with a distinctively Australian flavour. As I discussed in the recent post, Australia is starting to look at a central bank digital currency programme with a focus on retail customers. The design parameters and business case are yet to emerge, and I hope there will be considerable consultation around privacy, free choice, and the continued use of cash. In fact, around the world, work on central bank digital currencies are progressing. China's e-yuan, or digital yuan, project is essentially ready to go, with the country going slow to ensure that mass adoption is effectively in place before the launch, on which it has placed a lot of prestige. And the European Central Bank has been an enthusiastic supporter of a digital euro, calling it the holy grail of cross-border payments. To ensure financial stability in this digital age, it is crucial that we all still have easy access to central bank money, which is the foundation of our currency, ECB President Christine Lagarde said back in July. The digital euro can achieve that. The ECB's crypto frontman, Fabio Pantella, said in May that a digital euro could launch within 4 years. And India and Russia are planning central bank digital currency launches sooner than that, with India saying a CBDC could launch as soon as 2023. In fact, almost all the G20 members are working on a central bank digital currency to some degree. Sweden, South Korea, Thailand, Malaysia, Saudi Arabia, and Brazil are all fairly advanced. While Africa's largest country, Nigeria, launched its e-Naira CBDC almost a year ago, and both South Africa and Ghana have live pilots up and running. And more than a few governments have been clear that challenging the dollar's hegemony is a goal, with the ECB's Lagarde saying a digital euro could also help to avoid market dominance. So you could argue that central bank digital currencies have reached a critical mass, and enough major economies are challenging the greenback status as the world's reserve currency and all the power that comes with it to shift the debate to matters of national prestige. Which takes us to the US, where things are also getting started. And to that end, I want to discuss remarks made by Fed Governor Michelle Bowman, where she suggested that she believes the Fed now real-time payment system will make a digital dollar unnecessary. Speaking at the Van Cent FinTech Conference in Little Rock, Arkansas, on August the 17th, Bowman said that my expectation is that FedNow addresses the issues that some have raised about the need for a central bank digital currency. The imminent launch of the FedNow real-time payment system makes a digital dollar unnecessary. It doesn't matter anymore. Now, she started by discussing digital and crypto assets, saying, I'm hearing more discussions involving banks' interest in offering services involving crypto assets. The chatter seems to originate more from those outside the banking industry, but I'll put that aside for now, she said. There seems to be a number of reasons for this interest and why customers might seek to engage in this type of activity. First, although the interest seems to have cooled lately, given recent developments in the crypto industry, we have seen significant consumer demand for engagement in these types of services. It seems reasonable that because bank customers are aware of crypto and have discussed these assets with their banks, banks want to better understand this type of engagement and potentially provide those services to their customers. Secondly, we've also been told that banks have observed their deposits flowing to non-bank crypto asset firms and understandably would like to stem that outflow by offering the services themselves. She recognizes and appreciates these challenges, but, she said, before a bank begins to engage in or offer crypto asset-related services, it must seriously and carefully consider the risks involved both to the bank and its customers. The recent turmoil in the digital asset industry only underscores that point. She said Federal Reserve staff are working to articulate supervisory expectations for banks on a variety of digital asset-related activities, including custody of crypto asset facilitation of customer purchases and sale of crypto assets, loans collateralized by crypto assets, and issuance and distribution of stablecoins by banking organizations. She said that the Fed understands that everyone involved in this space is seeking clarity. And one of the most important tools that we have as a regulator, she said, is the ability to clearly articulate supervisory expectations. It's also their most direct path to encouraging and supporting responsible innovation. And she went on to say, earlier this week, we released supervisory guidance addressing banks that are engaging in or seeking to engage in crypto asset related activities. This guidance will provide banks with additional information about the risks of crypto activities to ensure that the activities are legal, and they should have adequate systems, risk management and controls in place to conduct the activities in a safe and sound manner consistent with applicable law. Critically, one important element of this release is that firms should contact their supervisors about these types of activities and expect that supervisory staff will provide timely feedback as appropriate. She went on to say, based on my conversations with bankers across the country, I believe that providing the rules of the road, highlighting the risks we are all concerned most about, and laying out our expectations for how those risks should be managed is invaluable for banks considering whether and how to innovate. And then she went on to discuss the FedNow instant payment system, which the Federal Reserve is actively engaged in and which will shape the future payments landscape. The Federal Reserve is developing the FedNow service to be a safe and efficient instant payment infrastructure that will operate around the clock 365 days a year, and it will enable financial institutions of all sizes to offer customers the ability to send and receive money immediately, providing receivers immediate access to funds. Through the service, funds will settle between participating financial institutions instantly, which means no build-up of interbank obligations or short-term credit risk. The FedNow service will provide a springboard for financial institutions to offer innovative instant payment solutions and help them meet the growing demand for these services. And note, it's only working within the US. So here's a diagram that they recently published that shows a sender, maybe an individual business, initiates a payment by sending a payment message to its financial institution through an end-user interface outside the FedNow service. The sender's financial institution is responsible for screening the payment according to its internal processes and requirements. Second, the sender's financial institution or its service provider submits a payment message to the FedNow service. Next, the FedNow service validates the payment message, for example, by verifying that it meets message format specifications. Fourth, the FedNow service sends the content of the payment message to the receiver's financial institution to seek confirmation that it intends to accept the payment message. At this point, the receiver's financial institution will have the opportunity to confirm, among other things, that it maintains a specific account. Fifth, the receiver's financial institution sends a positive response to the FedNow service, confirming that it intends to accept the payment message. And note, steps 4 and 5 are intended to reduce the number of misdirected payments and resulting exception cases that can occur in a high-volume system. Six, the FedNow service debits and credits the designated master accounts of the senders and receivers' financial institutions, or those of their correspondents, respectively. And seven, the FedNow service sends a payment message forward to the receiver's financial institution with an advice of credit and sends acknowledgement to the sender's financial institution that settlement is complete. And outside of the FedNow service, the receiver's financial institution credits the receiver's account, and the receiver's financial institution makes funds available to the receiver immediately after step 7. This crediting to the receiver's account, as well as debiting of the sender's account by their respective financial institutions, happens outside the FedNow service. And it's worth noting that the FedNow service processes payments around the clock every day of the year. However, for accounting and reporting purposes, the FedNow cycle date will differ from the calendar date for a period of time from close until midnight, because it will align with the Fedwire Fund Service Business Day, which generally has a closing time of 7 p.m. Eastern Time. If the Fedwire Fund Service Business Day is extended, the FedNow cycle date will extend along with it. And for consistency, the FedNow service will align to the same time frame for weekends and holidays. Now, with that introduction, this is what Fed Vice Chair Brainard said last week.
I'm pleased to join you at the FedNow Early Adopter Workshop. With the technical testing phase of the FedNow service kicking off in mid-September, I want to particularly thank you, the early adopters, for the important investments you're making to prepare for the day when the FedNow service goes live. Together, we'll be ready to launch the FedNow service between May and July of 2023, bringing this innovative core instant payments infrastructure to financial institutions of every size across America. We've been working hard to deliver on time, but ultimately the number of American businesses and households that are able to access instant payments will depend on financial services providers making the necessary investments to upgrade our payments infrastructure. Together, we can ensure all Americans have access to a modern and reliable instant payment system. The payment system is a critical part of America's infrastructure that touches everyone. Americans rely on the payment system all day, every day to make purchases, pay bills, and get paid without ever needing to think about the complex infrastructure that's operating under the hood. The FedNow service will transform the way everyday payments are made throughout the economy, bringing substantial gains to households and businesses through the ability to send instant payments at any time on any day with funds immediately available to recipients to make other payments or manage cash flow. Immediate availability of funds could be especially important for households managing their finances paycheck to paycheck or small businesses with cash flow constraints. Having the capacity to manage money in real time could help households avoid costly late fees or free up working capital for small businesses to finance growth. During the pandemic, we saw how essential rapid access to funds can be, as so many households started spending their emergency relief payments on the day they were received. To deliver on the promise of a payment system for the future, the Federal Reserve has made a substantial commitment to the FedNow platform, which has benefited from the technologies and approaches provided by global technology companies that are vital for today's always-on digital economy. Our cloud-first design, unique among central bank instant payment services, positions us for the future by enabling not only the throughput and scalability required for high-volume retail transactions, but also broad geographic points of resiliency to ensure continuous service. Cloud-first design affords other key components, such as self-healing processes and automation, which add to operational resilience. And our development processes are agile, allowing us to deliver new features faster to financial institutions of all sizes as they're ready to adopt them based on their priorities. We've also invested heavily in stakeholder engagement to ensure readiness for adoption through efforts like the pilot program, the FedNow Explorer resource, the FedNow community, the Service Provider Showcase, and the FedNow Early Adopter Workshop. To advance our goal of nationwide reach for instant payments, we are working closely with the private sector RTP instant payment service on message specifications to ensure alignment and support of routing interoperability. Just as the Federal Reserve has made a substantial commitment to our new instant payments infrastructure, we're calling on industry stakeholders to do the same. The shift to real-time payments infrastructure requires a focused effort, but the shift is inevitable. The time is now for all key stakeholders, financial institutions, core service providers, software companies, and app developers to devote the necessary resources to support instant payments. That means upgrading back office processes, evaluating accounting procedures for a 7-business-day week, arranging liquidity providers, deploying a new customer-facing app, and promoting instant payments for key use cases to customers. As the service providers featured at this event will demonstrate over the next few days, parts of the industry have already seized on the opportunity to build new services and capabilities that support instant payments. These efforts will increase competition in the market for end-user services and promote innovation, key benefits from providing the FedNow service as a neutral platform accessible to financial institutions of all sizes around the country.
Now, it's worth noting that FedNow is based on the ISO 20022 financial message protocol and is not a blockchain-based product, and it's not a central bank digital currency. It will still very much rely on third parties to operate. The FedNow service has been developed as an interbank real-time gross settlement system with immediate access to funds once a payment is initiated. Some of the 110 partners of the development program are also, though, playing in the crypto environment like Ripple, including Volante Technologies. And Governor Michelle Bowman said that the FedNow service will enable financial institutions of every size and every community across America to provide safe and efficient instant payment services. It's intended to be a flexible, neutral platform that will support a broad variety of instant payments, then will allow depository institutions and their service providers to offer value-added services to their customers, ultimately enhancing competition in the market for payment services. Completing and implementing FedNow is a high priority, and they expect it to be available by mid-2023. FedNow will help transform the way payments are made through new services that allow consumers and businesses to make payments conveniently in real time on any day and with immediate availability of funds for receivers. Their assessment of those benefits has not changed, even as we consider whether a central bank digital currency might fit into the future US money and payments landscape, she said. My expectation is that FedNow addresses the issues that some have raised about the need for a central bank digital currency. As I'm sure you're already aware, earlier this year we published a discussion paper that outlined some design principles, costs and benefits of a CBDC and solicited public comments. We received over 2,000 comments and we are currently reviewing those comments and plan to publish a summary of them. So, noting that the Fed's real-time payments rail will help transform the way payments are made through new services that allow consumers and businesses to make payments conveniently in real time on any day and with immediate availability of funds for receivers, Bowman added that the Fed's assessment of those benefits haven't been affected by the debate over how a central bank digital currency would fit into the future US money and payment landscape. This includes enabling financial institutions of all sizes to offer safe and efficient instant payment services, offering a flexible, neutral platform for many types of instant payment services, and allowing deposit institutions and service providers to introduce new customer services. This would, she said, ultimately enhance competition in the payment services market. And Bowman also took a potshot at the notion that banks are eager to offer crypto asset services, saying that when it comes to talking of banks' interests in offering crypto services, the chatter seemed to originate more from those outside the banking industry, saying that her expectation is that FedNow addresses the issues that some have raised about the need for a CBDC, Bowman said the service will help transform the way payments are made. That concerns about privacy and competition with the private sector, traditional banks, as well as fintechs and stablecoins is the core of the no side of the argument relating to CBDC. The yes side, like Federal Reserve Board of Governors Vice Chair Lyle Brainard said back in July, is that the dollar is very dominant in international payments, and if you have the other major jurisdictions in the world with a digital currency, a CBDC offering, and the US doesn't have one, that just doesn't sound like a sustainable future to me, she said. The worst position to be in, she said, in May, is for Congress to find itself telling the Federal Reserve in 5 years' time, you need to catch up. China's out there. The US Central Bank is out there. Then there's the House Financial Services Committee Chair, Maxine Waters, who said on July 27th that a stablecoin regulatory bill she hopes to get before the committee in the next few weeks will also require the Federal Reserve to research and develop a central bank digital currency, so we can remain competitive globally. And others, like Financial Services Ranking Minority Member Patrick Henry, are more sceptical and are concerned about privacy bringing the Fed into retail banking and stifling private sector innovation. Then there's the banking industry, which sees CBDCs as a huge threat to its business model. There is a don't take my cheese opposition coming largely from the banks, who view the CBDC as a potential disruptor of their very profitable payment system, Republican Jim Hines, who's a CBDC supporter, told Politico. The arguments that the US will need a CBDC to defend the dollar's place as the world's reserve currency are winning for reasons that have nothing to do with the actual need for a digital dollar or real-time payments. The financial superpower can't afford to be left behind. So it won't happen as quickly as in other places, but the case for a US CBDC will be gaining strength every time another country launches one. You can't stop the march of technology in time, and if you do, you become a backwater, Digital Dollar Project founder and former Commodity Futures Trading Commission chairman Chris Diancolo said in June, "We in the United States have always been open to innovation, and we must be open to this innovation as well." Point I want to make, though, is that maybe the way to think about this is rather different. With FedNow being brought in next year, it places the central payment switch, as it were, within the Fed's domain, which means that later, if they then wanted to introduce a CBDC, they have all the plumbing in place. So maybe rather than seeing one against the other, the real question we should be asking is FedNow step one along a road to a central bank digital currency? And if that's the case, are we happy about that? And does the Fed then have ever more power because it controls the switch and the system and, of course, the messages. And what does that mean for the future of other entities, including financial services players in the US and beyond? So there's a lot going on here. And I, for one, will be watching the FedNow program, not in the context of just faster payments, which is a good thing, but also in the broader context of the battle ahead for the control of the digital payment universe. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.